You can hear it. Joel, do everything without complaining and arguing to God. Oftentimes we have the proper action and the wrong attitude. We're doing the right thing. We're doing it for all the wrong reasons. I need to hear that today. Little boy was standing up on the couch. His mama said, sit down. And he didn't. She said it one more time. She said, sit down. And he didn't. And this time she did it with great force. And she said, I told you, sit down. And he did. And he looked at his mom and he said, Mom, I want you to know that I am sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside. I looked out at the early worship. There's kids, y'all, early worship kids everywhere. Kids everywhere. Parents are dying laughing. And I said, we don't have children like that here at First Baptist Church, do we? No. But many times that's our obedience to God. That's how we respond to God the Father. Oh, God, I'll give that money, but God, man, I'd rather keep it for myself. Oh, we'll come to church. I'll come to church. I'll attend church. But man, y'all, is it not a beautiful day to be out on that lake for November the 3rd? Oh, I'll come to attend church, but man, I'd rather be on the lake. Oh, I'll serve in that mission or I'll serve in that ministry, but man, I'd rather be home in front of the TV. So Paul was saying to the Philippians, I don't want you just to obey. I want you to obey with the right heart, with the right spirit, without complaining, without arguing, with the right motivation of the heart for God the Father. Jesus many times pointed out the radical differences between the Pharisees and the motives of the Pharisees and the motives of his disciples. The Pharisees were obedient. They did all the right things. They followed the rules to perfection. They did it better than our entire church all put together. Our obedience doesn't even compare to the obedience of the Pharisees. They were the greatest rule followers in the history of the world. And yet Jesus said to them, the outside of the bowl is clean, but the inside of the bowl is filthy. Isaiah said, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is so far from me. They did it for all of the wrong reasons. And so Paul wants the body of Christ to be obedient, but for the right reason, with the right heart, with the right spirit and the right motive. He then says, hold firmly to the word of life. It means to hold your position. Or hold your gaze. John Piper says, hold firm to the word for the sake of your faith. Hold firm to the word for the sake of your joy. Hold firm to the word for the sake of your freedom. Hold firm to the word for the sake of your holiness. Hold firm to the work for the sake of the Holy Spirit, for the sake of life, for the sake of strength, for the sake of your stability, for the sake of your fruitfulness. And then here's how he closes that. He says, hold firm, strong to the word of life. He then says, for the sake of your death. How about that? We don't like to talk about this thing called death here in America. We don't like that one. The Bible's okay with it. God, our Creator, He's all right with it. We just don't like it. But I love how John Piper throws that at the end, at the very end. Hold firm to the word of faith for the sake of your death, because that's exactly where you're going. All of us. Richard Pratt once said, children of God are not meant to be crooked and perverse, leading others astray. Instead, we are meant to be pure and undefiled. Children of God are not meant to increase the world's darkness. We are meant to be lights which illuminate the spiritual and moral darkness of our world. We're not meant to be the part of the problem. We're meant to be the solution. We are to live as children of God. Paul says, hold firm to the word, because that's what brings joy no matter what the outcome. Now, here we go. as an American culture, crooked and perverse generation that we live in, we like, and we're taught, literally, we're taught from birth. Not, we don't go to class to learn this. But you and I are taught from birth in the American culture. We are taught to base our actions on our desired outcome, okay? So that is to say this. Here's what I want, fill in the blank. And here's what I want it to be. Here are the actions that I've got to do and live in order to get what it is that I want. That's called pragmatism. We are pragmatists. We're a lot of ists. We're hedonists. We're relativists. We're pluralists. We're all kind of ists. But we're also pragmatists. And so we're taught from the day that we're born, this is what you want. This is what you desire. These are the actions that you've got to follow in order to get what it is that you are wanting and you are desiring. As far as the American culture is concerned, I'm not even saying that's good, bad, right, or wrong. It is what it is. That's just a part of who we are. It's one of the philosophies of our culture. The motto of pragmatism is this: if it works, then do it. It doesn't matter if it's right, wrong, or ethical, or unethical. Doesn't matter. Biblical, truth, or none of that matters. If it works for you, then do it. If it doesn't work, then don't do it. It's that simple. If getting that abortion works for you, then do it. If doing something unethical or immoral at work, if you get what it is that you really want and desire from it, that's fine, don't matter. If it works for you, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter over here how you got there. That's the world that you and I live in. Paul, thankfully, understood that he was not called to be a pragmatist. Paul said, I'm going to do whatever it takes in order to shine the light of the gospel, even if that means I die because of it, even if that means I become the sacrificial drink offering. A pragmatist would have said, you know, every time I go to these towns, Ephesus, Philippi, Corinth, Colossae, every time I go to these towns and I start preaching the gospel, they either put me under house arrest or they ship me off to Rome to be in prison. And I don't know when I'm under house arrest or if I'm in Rome in a prison cell, I don't know if I'm going to live or die. This is not working for me. So Paul was not a pragmatist. And so Paul then says to us, I want you to do the same as I do. I want you to live as light in a dark world. And that is how you will receive your joy, not in getting the results that you're looking for. Man, that's powerful. Paul was referring to the old covenant drink offering. It was the last thing that was added to the sacrifice to make it acceptable to God before the gift was burned on the altar. So Paul was describing himself as a drink offering. And he wants you and I to do the same. We live in a crooked, perverse world. I love it when I get tickled. I don't necessarily love it, but I get tickled when believers are so short-sighted that they get so caught up in all of the bad things going on in the American culture, as if these things are new. And I say, did you remember the story of Adam and Eve? Have you ever read that story? Adam and Eve, you know, sin. All this stuff, dark, perverse, crooked, has been going on since Adam and Eve. Paul lived in a first century Roman culture that makes ours look like nothing. And in that Roman perverse, crooked, twisted, sinful generation. Paul said, live as light in the darkness. And so we look at our culture and our world. Yes, it is twisted and it is sinful. It is crooked. It is perverse. Of course it is. And Paul says, church, body of Christ, live as light that shines in this dark world. And we do that, church, by holding firm to the power of the gospel. And that church is what brings rejoicing. Father, thank you for a powerful word today from the Apostle Paul. Live as light in a crooked, perverse generation. Well, that's true of us too. That's been true since Adam and Eve. And until you come again, it will always be true. So, how do we live as light in that darkness? To illuminate the light. So, Father, we need strength, we need help, we need encouragement. That is where Paul found his joy. And then he says to the body of Christ, now follow that example. So we try, and we do. Thank you for the power of that word today, Father. If there's anybody that's here today has never trusted Jesus and as Savior and Lord of their life, that's our prayer. Our prayer is that today will be the day of salvation. For those of us who know you as Savior and Lord, Father, our prayer is that you would burn it deeper in our hearts, shining light in darkness. That's who we are. That's our calling. Give us strength to do so, Father. Thank you, Father, for your word and its truth today. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Shine, Jesus, shine is our invitation. If you've never trusted Christ, then the invitation is open. We encourage you to come. If you need to come and pray, join our church, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand and as we sing. Seated real quickly before we head out of here. What do we got first? All right, last Sunday, we didn't get this for you last week. So last Sunday morning, the Bush family joined. So Emily and Christian, mom and dad, and it would be virtually impossible for me to be able to say all of the names of their five children. All right, so they have been with us for about 6 months or so. They came last Sunday to join us here at First Baptist Church. And we think that all five of the children are going to follow in believer's baptism. So Micah and I are talking with them about how we're going to work all that out. All right, so we're looking forward to that. All right, so say something to the Bush family. All right, then we've got the Harvey family. So James and Brittany and Wyatt, Stella, and Hazel. They are coming today. James and Brittany know Christ as Savior and Lord, have followed Christ in believer's baptism. The children are in the, they've all made professions of faith, but they're going to be baptized as well. But they come today joining First Baptist Church. So the next time that you see the Harveys, make sure you say a word of encouragement to them. All right? Next Sunday night, a week from tonight, 6 o'clock p.m., we're going to have a prayer, our fourth and final prayer event for the year. And Ken's going to start and lead us in some music. Then we're going to go old school in this prayer event. I'm going to have a whiteboard here, and we're just going to start writing some things down. And we're going to be thinking and praying about the future of First Baptist Church. And for about 6, 7, 8 months, well, since the beginning of the year, Long Range Planning Committee has been meeting with an architectural firm from Huntsville. And we're talking about, what are we going to do with this youth ministry? What are we going to do with the children's ministry, the senior adult ministry that upstairs need to be downstairs? What are we going to do with our Anchored Adventures and all of these different things? So we're putting plans together. So we're just going to pray about that next Sunday night. We're just going to write some things down. We're going to build a case before God. Why do we want these missions and ministries to continue to grow? It's going to be real informal, a lot of fun, and then we'll have some prayer about where we're headed for the future, all right? So next Sunday night, senior adults, November the 12th, mature adults, Thanksgiving luncheon. I think I said this morning in early worship, there's already 2,542 that are signed up for that event. Sign up on the old Lord's Supper table. There's a lot. All right, then 2 weeks from tonight, November the 17th, Warren Jones, our youth minister, and his wife Heather, they are co-youth ministers for us here at First Baptist Church. We're going to ordain Warren to the gospel ministry. That's going to be a lot of fun. Youth's going to be involved in that, so we're looking forward to that 2 weeks from tonight. All right? Anything, Ken? All right. Let's all stand and close by singing. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I did that this morning too. Today is the day, the first Sunday in November, that we elect deacons and committee on committees. Now, two agreed to serve as committee on committee, so you won't have to vote for them. But we have ballots, so if you brought your ballot, that's fine, turn it in. If you didn't bring a ballot and you want one, then one of our ushers, deacons, will come by and hand it to you. If you are not a member of First Baptist Church, then you're free to get up and leave as soon as we get through singing. And if you are a member, then just hang tight for just a moment after we sing, and then you can vote on our deacons as far as that is concerned. All right, so let's all stand and close by singing Send the Light. Members, you stay.
Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
Amen. Thanks, everybody.